You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions, and thank you for joining me today. Jesus takes away our sins is the title of this devotion. Here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, we read, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." He was made manifest to take away our sins, Jesus. Friends, this is the great gospel that we have for a sin-ridden world. And folks, the real fundamental issue that is the problem in the world is called sin. It is in three little letters, S-I-N, sin. That is the reason for all the trouble in the world. And you cannot think that God doesn't care when he has demonstrated how deeply he cares about sin by sending his own son as an offering for sin to liberate us from sin. And friends, we all need to be liberated from that nature of sin. If you would take an acorn and you plant it and an oak tree would grow out of it, it has the nature of the acorn. And that's where that nature comes from. All of us in the natural and the flesh have our nature from Adam, because he was the first, and out of his seed, the seed of Adam, we all have that nature of sin, because one man sinned, because of his sin, all die because of him, the scripture teaches us in Romans chapter 5 and 6. And that is an important understanding to have why we have trouble in the world. And we can then see how God began to bring about his answer. We can see the evil of sin and how it affects human nature. And we can see then the answer for sin. And God even had to bring in the law, his commandments, which were holy and righteous and good, to bring them to us to begin to show us how sinfully sin really is. Through the knowledge of the law comes the knowledge of sin. But where sin abounded through the knowledge of the law, the grace that we now receive through Jesus abounds yet more to save us from that horrific nature of sin. This is why Jesus came, and this is why he was made manifest, to save us from our sin. And what I find important, you know, it says in Timothy, and I read it to you yesterday, but I'll just quickly read it again, this verse 15 of chapter 1. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Jesus came to save sinners. And then here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he, the Lord God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." It is God himself that has declared us all under sin. There is not one righteous, Romans teaches us this. There is not one righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 of chapter 3 of Romans, all have sinned. Every one of us. And this is important for you to realize, that Jesus Christ came to save us from sin. Jesus takes away our sins. And I am so grateful that Jesus has come to take away my sin. And there is not one of us who will not begin to realize what a wonder it is when you begin to realize that that nature of sin that held you captive with passions and feelings and thoughts that contradicted God's will and His thoughts and His ways and His nature are all taken away through your union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Romans, let's go ahead and go there for a moment. In Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? You know, any of us compares ourselves sometimes to the wrong thing. We compare ourselves to one another. None of us should compare ourselves to anyone but Christ alone. We are not predestined to be like anyone but Jesus Christ alone. And you can never look down at somebody as if they're less than you, or up at somebody as if they're so much more than you. That is different to respecting, honoring, reverencing one another than to think others are so much better than yourself. We're all just human beings. I don't think I'm better than anybody just because I'm a pastor. I'm not better than anyone in this church. No, God forbid that I would think such a thought. No, absolutely never would I think that. And he says then, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they all are under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They all have turned aside. They've all together become unprofitable. There's none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue they have practiced deceit. The poison of aspen is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 23, for they all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, you see, friends, it is important that when it says that Jesus came to save us from sin, Jesus came to take away our sin, that we realize we need Him. I need Him. I do not have freedom from sin without Jesus. My nature is what it is. My flesh is my flesh. And there's nothing I can do about it. And you see, if you get this, then you will look for the right answer. Many times we look for so many different answers, but there is only one true answer, and it's Jesus. Yes, somebody could help me understand, why do I have some of my human behaviors? Well, your father had those behaviors, or your mother had them, or, well, when you went through that, then these things hurt you, and that's why you're like that. And it can be helpful in some way or another to be able to cope with the anxiety or stresses or pains, but it doesn't take it away. It cannot take it away. Understanding the reasons of why you behave doesn't take it away. Jesus is the only one who can take away our sins. And this is why He was made manifest, to take away our sins. He truly can change your nature. How? By coming into us. Apart from His indwelling presence and work of the Spirit, He can do nothing for you and me. He has to come in us by His Spirit to become the answer. He is the freedom from sin. His indwelling life is your freedom. He reveals that freedom by coming in. He perfects that freedom by revealing Himself within. And He brings it to completion when you meet Him in the air and in the twinkling of an eye are made like Him and receive a new body that doesn't have any more the nature of sin. But until that day, you are only kept free from sin through Christ living within. And that freedom is so phenomenal, and that gives you confidence. He who set you free will keep you free. And then you're not afraid, you will go back to your old ways. No, you say, He is able to keep me from falling and present me without fault in the presence of His glory. But you have to acknowledge, like I do, I need Him every day, every day. I know Robert is Robert. And if Robert allows himself to take his eyes off of Jesus, to take his communion away from Jesus, I will backslide. And I will again suffer the same failings that were there all along. My freedom from sin is having Jesus Christ living within. I cannot say to you, you know, I used to have that failing, but there Jesus saved me. And now I never have it again. No, I've learned never to think that way. Oh, yes, I can say, you know, I used to be quite harsh and I used to be a hothead. True. Hothead. Oh, my anger had was lawless, was terrible. How Virginia endured it when my anger would be let go. You know, and yet there was a sweetness about me, but I had that problem. And if Jesus didn't fix that, we would not be married for 41 years now. No, but friends, Jesus came into my life and He is my freedom. And He not only set me free, but keeps me free through His indwelling nature and character. His freedom from sin is my freedom from sin. He was made manifest to take away my sin. He's my freedom from sin and yours and the whole world's. To as many as receive Him, to them He gives this life-giving power to become children of God through His indwelling presence. And I live free through the Son of God within. Would you like to be free? The Heavenly Father will reveal His Son in you, and that's your freedom. And He will not only bring that freedom, but keep you free by His indwelling life. It is heavenly. It is glorious. Come on, folks. There's nobody who can sit here and say, well, Robert, I understand you had a lot of problems. You know, you had these weaknesses. I don't have them. So I don't have that problem. The nature of sin may express itself in whichever way, but it's still the same nature. It's the same root that's causing the trouble. And it says in this amazing Psalm of David, Psalm 130, out of the depth I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you struggle with sin, it's causing you to be cruel. It's causing you to be vindictive. It's causing you to lust. And it's causing you to be tormented with offenses, with angers, with harshness, with impatience. It makes you want to investigate all the evil, demonic, dark parts of this creation, the devils that are there, and you want to know about it because sin is enticing you to go after those things. Cry out, Jesus, save me. Jesus, have mercy. Cry out to Him. If the Lord, verse 3, should mark iniquity, if He should point out our failure, oh Lord, who could stand? Come on. Maybe you could say, well, Robert, when I'm around others, I'm better than most all the people I know. I don't cuss like they. I don't smoke like them. I don't steal like them. I don't lie like them. I don't, you know, folks, that's the worst thing to compare yourself to. You don't want to compare yourself to people who have weaknesses or failings you don't have. You want to stand before the perfect image of man, Jesus Christ. He is called the perfect man. And then you will see that you have just as many failings, maybe in a different way than somebody else, but you're no better than any man. If the Lord would mark iniquity, who could stand? If God would point out in my life anything, sure. But He has declared me not guilty because of what Jesus has done for me. He's declared me blameless and holy in His sight because of the blood of Jesus. He's declared me acceptable and well-pleasing through Jesus living in me. I don't have any righteousness to boast in. I don't have anything to boast in but Christ alone. If any man boasts, let him boast in the Lord. It says in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But you know, dear friends, if God would mark iniquity, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in him and in his word do I hope. Oh, my soul, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The Lord will liberate you from anything that causes you to stumble and fall. And let me close with you here from Micah. Oh, I love this little verse in Micah here. I really love Micah. I think Micah has so many powerful things to say in his short little seven chapters. But Micah says in chapter 7, verse 18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us, and he will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. My goodness, friends, if you have been caught in a sin and its consequences are so detrimental and it's causing so much trouble, and you may feel like you're fainting, take a scripture like Psalm 130. Take a scripture like Micah chapter 7, verse 18 through 19. And meditate on these thoughts. Take Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, and the man whose iniquities are covered over, and in whose heart is no deceit before God. He doesn't have to somehow make himself look good before God. He could stand bare, naked, and exposed before God like us all and say, Lord, I have nothing but to say, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Oh, my goodness, friends, if you come before the Lord with such a heart of humility and repentance and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner, I guarantee you the sweet graces of the atoning, redeeming work of Jesus will rush into your nature. And as you say, oh Jesus, Savior of my soul, Jesus who died for my sin, Jesus who shed your blood to set me free from sin, Jesus, you were made manifest to take away my sin. Take them all away, Lord. Wash me white as snow. Create in me a clean heart and make me whole. I guarantee you will know what I'm talking about, and it's better than life itself. Amen. Have a good day.